I listen to the black guy who tips because Rod and Karen are hot.
In the summer of 1963, hundreds of thousands of civil rights activists planned to join the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, which many predicted would be the biggest demonstration in the district's history. The freedom movement was sweeping the country, exposing racial discrimination in all corners of American life, and the nation's police departments were increasingly coming under scrutiny. One 1959 study revealed that 83% of southern departments restricted black officers to segregated districts, that in most cities black officers could not arrest whites. And in 1961, a U.S. Civil Rights Commission report found that 31% of the nation's police departments restricted the ability of black officers to arrest a white person suspected of a felony. Most of these departments required their black officers to hold suspects until a white policeman arrived to make the actual arrest. In a few cases, black officers were prohibited even from doing that. And across the country, their authority to make misdemeanor arrests was even more limited. Meanwhile, the abuse black citizens faced from the police was unrelenting. Brutality was especially vivid display in the South, where scenes of cigar-chomping sheriffs attacking civil rights protesters with water hoses and dogs became regular fodder for the nightly news. In the early 1960s, civil rights groups charged that police corruption and abuse were rampant throughout the country. The police still routinely arrested suspects without warrants and held them with little or no cause. When asked, many blacks conceded that they felt powerless to respond. In 1966, a nationwide study validated that fear, finding that police officers were almost never convicted or punished in the aftermath of abuse allegations. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Saturday, ready to do some feedback. This is where we talk about all the stuff that you guys had to say back to us for the stuff that we said at y'all during the week. So we're going to get into your emails, your voicemails, your comments on our website, your votes in our polls with comments, your donations, all of that stuff. We're going to get into that today, and we thank you for taking the time out to do that.
We do!
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. Today's excerpt is from Locking Up Our Own, by the man whose name I always mess up, so I'm not gonna say it, guys. His name is Foreman, James Foreman Jr. I always fuck that up. But that's talking about black police officers and the rights that they did not have, essentially. Because of the murder of Ahmaud, you know, everybody's like, I'm running with Ahmaud and all this stuff, this black man who was jogging, and the defense of it as it crumbles, but the initial defense is that we suspected him of a crime, and two citizens who were armed ran their truck in front of him on the street, parked, and when he decided to not yield to their authority, he was killed, and they did not face any consequences until it became a big viral story on social media.
Right.
And
before that, they didn't care. They've been seeing that video. That video was not new to them.
Right. And this is like this reminds me of the Zimmerman thing, because this is not an officer of the law. There's no authority I have to respect from these people. And yet, many people are making this argument of, well, these people are citizens. They're making a citizen's arrest. You have to respect their citizenship, their authority in that way. And I would say the reason that they're making that argument is because they're white people.
Right.
And I wanted to read that passage this morning because that's about officers of the law who went through all of the things you're supposed to do to be able to be an officer of the law, except for they were black. And because they were black, there were different rules for them. And the rules that they had was essentially, unless you see someone committing a felony, you can't even detain a white person. Any white person doing a misdemeanor crime in your jurisdiction in front of your face, you better not do shit. And anyone doing a felony, you may not arrest them, you may hold them, but you cannot affect arrest. And a felony is a lot of things. You know, sexual assault, violence,
breaking,
you know,
and entering,
all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So essentially, your blackness means that it surpasses the authority of your badge. Like, the authority of whiteness is the one thing that we are to be beholden to in America. Like, so that's why when people see that former police officer, and they see the same video that we, that many of us have seen, they see something differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing too is I found out today the guy who put the video out is the person that was with them. And he leaked the video not to expose them, but because he felt the video would exonerate them.
Oh, because he saw something completely different.
Because white supremacy puts these goggles on you that makes you see something in a completely different light. What that person saw was a person who was a black man who was not compliant. And therefore, of course, it's not murder. He wasn't complying. Yeah. Why did y'all kill him? Well, we thought he could have had a gun. Y'all did have guns. What was he thinking? What he thinking is, what he thought was, isn't relevant because we killed him and he's black. You know? And so it just made me think about that. That juxtaposed the idea of these black people who have put in all this work to become police officers, passed all these courses, done all these tests, all this stuff. And the law is like, you can't be arresting white people. Are you crazy? White passes blue even for your black ass.
Yeah, it does. It does. And like I said, I seen another article, like, and like I said, I didn't fact check it or anything, but they were saying that, in addition to that, they were saying that there was no crimes reported in the area that they claimed.
For 2 months. They claimed that there was a string of burglaries and that's why they stopped this man. Turns out there hadn't been a burglary reported in that area for 2 months. This was not that. This was just vigilante. We're going to go out and threaten this black man who's just minding his fucking business. Like I said, when I read that initial article, I refused to read it on the show when I first read it because it was full of like these speculations about the victim. And I don't like doing that. You know, it was, he could have had some mental health issues. Plus, you know, they were saying that there were robberies in the area and he had been caught breaking into homes and casing. And I'm like, whose words are we reporting? Let me guess, you're reporting the words of the people that killed the man. We know there's a video out there. Why isn't that here? You know, why don't you want people to decide for themselves? But then we find out they're not afraid of people deciding for themselves. They never considered there was another side.
Mm-mm, because articles started coming out about the people making the decisions and why they decided not to press charges and all types of stuff because they didn't see what the public saw. Well, actually, what that, black people saw.
That's their friends.
Correct.
You know, that's their friend. So how can you be responsible for prosecuting your friend? Your friend's a murderer. His son's a murderer. The person that recorded it is accomplice to murder. And but that's your friend. They worked in your office. You worked with the, some of them their people. So now all of a sudden it's like, I gotta recuse myself. Next person. Yeah, well, I don't see no big deal. I mean, I just take their word for it.
Nobody wants to be the one that come down with the hammer.
They told his mom he broke into somebody's house and that's how he got killed.
What?
Yeah. Like, this is a cover up from like, everyone should be in jail. Not just the people that, the other people that shirked their responsibilities, that chose their friendship over justice and over doing the right thing, you know? And what happens in these situations is that someone like Ahmaud becomes a criminal because he has to be a criminal to justify the actions that have been done. You know, this is James Baldwin. I don't need a nigger. Why? The question is, why do you? Right? So now Ahmaud, they have to tarnish him. They did it to Trayvon. They do it to all of us. Mm-hmm. Once they kill us, you know, Sandra Bland, once they kill us, then it becomes retroactive. We were not the right type of black. You know, we weren't respectable enough, or we had a blemish on our record, and Mike Brown deserves to die, you mm-hmm. know?
And even we fall into that because yeah. most of us, including myself, has been impacted some way, shape, form by white supremacy. And it's something that you have to correct and ask yourself, why do I feel a certain way about people with baggy pants? Why do I feel a certain way about people with dreads? Why do I feel a certain way about them? You know, why do I feel that way? And the answer is white supremacy, you know. And it goes into the want to be politically correct and want to be respectable, but we all know that respectability does not matter.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that with this particular case as far as people saying, he was, you know, doing something wrong, at least not black people, but
right,
you know,
we throw it up there in certain situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm glad for that I'm not seeing it for him. I've seen a few people, I haven't seen it directly, but people mentioned that, you know, all you people walking around talking about you wear your college hoodie or whatever went running, it, like, it's not gonna stop the cops from killing you or whatever, or stop people from harassing you. I didn't see the people who were running around saying that, you know, so. But I've also curated a lot of stuff away from me, so.
Me too. Sometimes I miss out on that. I don't see.
Anyway, yeah, that's what it made me think of, was just the origins of policing for black people and how this is such a rigged game. Black people can't even police. And you damn sure know two black citizens with guns can't just run up on some jogging white man and talk about you fit the description. You know that can't happen. And kill them and then walk. You know, you couldn't even kill another black person and walk like that. I just decided that he fit the description. I don't have no proof, you know, so. All right, sing the song. All right, what happens if I click the button?
Butterfly in the sky, I could go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
All right, let's give props to the people that actually gave us some free money, people that donated to the show. Shout out to y'all.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. New day. New pay. Bambi, Dr. Bambi hooked us up with the recurring donation.
Thank you, baby.
Nicola C, thank you very much. Kimberly, oh, our girl Falcon Diva, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jason F, Donna N, Kevin W, Derek LW, Felicity F, Michelle B is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you, Michelle.
Hey, baby.
Donna N, Zachary N from Living Corporate Podcast, Linwood C, Grace N, Lawrence C, B. Coleman. Got a one-time donation from Uncle K, who says, thank you, much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Got a one-time donation from Denise M, no message, but thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Tracy J, Malinike I, Cedric W, Allegra, Preston F, Team Joe, and that's everybody. Thank you so much.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on,
today's a new day, but there is no sunshine, nothing but clouds and a storm in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. So tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where's the love and the joy and the promise? And tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but my power that I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower. And
now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile. Even though it hurts me, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while, I smile, smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile.
All right, let's get into the 5-star reviews. We got some from you guys.
Thank you.
Let's see who left the. Oh, this is too big. All right, let's see who left some. First of all, we got some on iTunes. Okay.
Yay.
Great podcast. Rod and Karen are hilarious. This is by Danny SAS. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Love this podcast. 5 stars, of course. I've been listening. This is by N Harris 26. I've been listening since 2014. I've given a 5-star before, but never left a comment. I know, shame on me for taking this long to write a review, but better late than never. Y'all have me cackling around my house, the office, the store, looking like a full-fledged crazy person, but I don't care. Y'all are the reason I can't go a day without my earbuds. You guys keep me informed. This is not in a not so heavy way. Love y'all. Thank you. Love to hear that. Mm-hmm. Say It Tell It says Ad Lib Fitness, who says, nice to find a podcast I like with a black man who doesn't bash black women every episode or all white people, etc. Fair and balanced with a mix of opinions from both hosts. Thank you. Man, the bar is low, huh?
But the bar is low, my nigga, real low. I'm glad you just saying women ain't shit.
Right. You not saying women ain't shit, yeah. At least not every episode.
I mean, come on.
Let me tell you about these females. Yeah. It is the worst. I feel you on that, though.
Yes, it is.
The definition of a 5-star podcast. This is from PDEMP, I think, or PDEMP. Many podcasts have come and gone from my playlist, but the Blackout Tips has been consistently in rotation since I started listening to podcasts in 2013. Come join the last frontier of joy in the 2020 world. Thank you.
Yes.
We will. I'll try not to yawn in your ear too much. Uh-huh. You never know. All this podcasting, I'm human. I forgot to mention, this is from Danielle CC, who says, hey, you know, I watch Insecure too. Stop playing. And it's, upside down face emoji with a thumbs up emoji. And living for the reviews you have. I don't think Condola is pregnant. I think Lawrence is going to tell Issa he came to the realization that he is not over their relationship. All the best, Danielle D. I would love to see that. You know, me and Bossy are team Issa and Lawrence truther, so whatever gets us back to that is cool. All right, and someone left 2 hearts, 5 stars. Stream Excess by Rina Sawayama, rocket spaceship emoji, the jam, and it's from high_B. Well, you know what,
thank you.
Still we'll 5 stars it. And it wasn't mean,
right?
So you made the cut.
Yes, you did. We'll take emojis.
We got 1 5-star review on Stitcher from Michelle B15, who says, 5 stars, amazing show. I've been listening to this podcast for almost 2 years, and it's about time for me to leave a review. This podcast is everything. Rod and Karen delivered an amazing show full of humor, informative views, and just plain old conversation. Their take on life, especially during these times, is just what you need to get through. They have helped me get through working from home alone. And since, some people probably do like the podcast more now that they are home, because it just kind of fills the room.
You're right. You ain't got to put your headphones in now. You can just play it in the room.
Yeah, and then also you don't feel like you're just sitting in your house by yourself all the time.
Correct.
And since I have been listening to them, I look forward to getting in the car. They have gotten me through many long commutes. I'm grateful for what they do and their ability to invite you into their show as if you are family. And I'm so glad I found this podcast. The gift of laughter they give us is priceless. Ryder Karen are the best. Thank you, Michelle B15.
Thank you.
That was so much love. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, that was nice. That's what we do it for, guys. It really does. If you're thinking about leaving a 5-star review, please do, because it really does brighten our days. And you get to the end of the week and it's like, oh man, I did 27 shows this week and, you know, tired, and I do all this stuff. And then you get the 5-star reviews and you're like, worth it, you know?
Yes.
Well, let's see. We had episode 2097 on our website. You can leave comments, The Black Guy Who Tips. It was episode 2097 was a feedback episode. It's called Black Women Dream Differently. We had 1 comment from Miss Barnes. Thank you for talking about us and our makeup. My mother always had beautiful brown skin and would use Fashion Fair brown sugar for her foundation, and she chose to use something that was closer to her skin tone and did not wear a lot of makeup. I will never forget the time she was working one day and this white woman stared at her for a long time. She finally approached her and said, I know that I am staring at you, but I cannot see a pimple on your skin. Your skin looks so beautiful and clear. When mama told this story to me, she had to mention this lady was looking casket ready, looking like fresh death with a pound of makeup on her face. Ugh. When shopping for foundation for my skin tone, it was a pain in the ass. As with our makeup, once upon a time with darker shades, it was mixed with a reddish tint to get the foundation to a darker tone. When you applied it to the in the morning, it was a compliment to my tone. But when 2 p.m. hit, I look shiny as hell with that reddish tint.
Because it dries.
I'm sure that makeup companies got it somewhat right since those days of Fashion Fair, Mary Kay, and Avon. But it just leaves me with memories of how tough it is for our dark skinned ladies.
Mm-hmm.
For us dark skinned ladies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. If it wasn't for a black woman, thinking of black women, would the makeup have even improved?
Right, and the thing is, particularly if you're on like the darker end of the spectrum, some people couldn't find makeup dark enough. You know, some people, they found makeup, and a lot of people may have to lighten it, but some people had the reverse problem where they couldn't find anything dark enough to actually give them a natural skin tone.
Have you had more vivid dreams since the shelter in place orders? Yes or no, or we don't have shelter in place here.
Me, yes.
I feel like mine are about the same as they were. But then like a couple years ago, I was having super vivid dreams.
My dreams be all over the place. Sometimes some I remember and some I don't, but the ones I remember, I really remember.
Mm-hmm. I took some CBD gummy bears. They help.
Okay.
At any rate.
Those made me sleep hard.
That's the point.
Okay. I sleep anyway. It just made me sleep harder than I already do.
Whatever. Keep your dreams. 43% said. 43% said yes, 57% said no, 0% said they don't have shelter in place where they're at. So anyone listening
to this, be safe, stay away from the Rona.
Anybody listening to this must got shelter in place. Miss Barnes says, okay, so kind of long story about one dream. So one night the podcast is on kind of late for me. It's usually around bedtime, 7:45, 8 p.m. And I went to sleep on the podcast. No disrespect. I'm old. Ain't no disrespect. Mm-hmm. People go to sleep on podcasts all the time.
Yes, I do too.
I think, Nick Jew talks about going to sleep on our podcast and stuff. And that doesn't bother me.
Mm-mm.
Plus when I'm just yawning in your ear, it probably make you sleepy, you know? And I dreamed that I was talking to my homegirl, that I used to work with at Target, and was telling her about the podcast and how she needed to listen to Blackout Tips. So in my dream, I got my girl to listen to the podcast. Does that count for anything? Teeth a nice try? Mom Drags with Swag says, I have had a lucid dream that I'm trying to escape my Jamaican ex, and not because he was abusive. Oh girl, we know that Jamaican peen, okay? Tristan Thompson got Chloe going through it right now. I keep calling him Satan and rebuking him and telling him I was married now. It was so vivid. I had to apologize to my husband. Didn't tell though. Lakita says, oh, we talking weird CPOC dreams. At the beginning of this pandemic, I had a dream about disembodied zombie hands walking around attacking people, trying to crawl up their legs and pulling on the hems of their dresses to turn healthy people into zombies. I remember discussing the hands, and how we could get away from them because we couldn't get rid of them. Not scary, but definitely upsetting. I assume the hands represented the virus. Now I owe y'all $100 for this therapy session. Well, I don't actually have any therapeutic advice for you.
Me either.
Other than CBD gummies, okay? Maybe that'll help you too. I don't know.
It will. You'll sleep hard.
Episode 2098, Seed in the Tub, was what it was called. And we discussed a bunch of stuff, you know, militarization of American culture, some random thoughts, coronavirus news. You guys know the drill at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting close to 2100, you know? So, Anonymous says, hey Rod and Karen, that Reading Rainbow segment really was timely. The hospital, very prestigious, major name recognition I work at, had a company-wide email go out that the police in full riot gear were going to go be outside the entrance to applaud the first responders as we came to work. Most people here had no problem with it, but it feels disingenuous. Maybe it's my own personal conspiracy theory, but it feels like they're trying to siphon whatever good PR they can get while America is praising medical front end and couriers.
Right, because in reality, you want money. Like, you might as well say thoughts and prayers, because not trying to be funny, it doesn't, quote unquote, equal anything. I'm not getting any extra money. I'm not getting any more protection. And for a lot of what y'all doing, it's a fucking smack in the face when these governors turn around, but I open it all back up.
Well, I think also that's a great point of them trying to get good PR off of it, because right now frontline medical staff and stuff, everyone's going outside the house clapping at 7 o'clock to make noise for them and stuff like that. So there is this idea of like, well, if we as police are in full real uniform praising them,
like
you're getting a boost from like, look at those good police officers giving praise. That's what the police are. That's what the police do.
Oh, I'm with you. Yes,
but in real life, we know the police do much more than that and much worse than that in many cases. So I can see that.
Right, and it's one of those things where, like I said, it's like, it's nice. It's like propaganda. It's like, we are going to make the police visible. So that people have a feeling that they're safer with the coronavirus, even though we know most people probably in their houses.
Yeah, I think also it's not like them being dressed in riot gear is also a message. You know, riot gear looks a lot more like, you look a lot less like a police officer and more like a military soldier.
Yeah, that's true too now.
Yeah, I can see even like the way that police do the military garb and camouflage in the middle of the, yeah, it's just all, I don't know, it just all gives me a weird feeling. Like you said, it's not a conspiracy, but it does feel like they're trying to siphon off some goodwill
while they can. Yes,
not while they can, they're always doing it. They ain't even know why they can. They will keep doing it. They've been doing it forever. It's built into being police, in my opinion. Like, it won't pass. Like, there'll be something else after this, and they'll find an angle on that too. You know what I mean? Like, the same way that clap for them at the military, I mean, at the basketball game, and we want to thank the police for protecting the stadium today. You know what I mean? Like, it's a constant arm of policing is the propaganda of it.
That part I agree with. Yes.
I have a feeling the praise will go away soon. For y'all, is that what you're saying? The praise for the medical people,
right? And that's why I was like, this is propaganda to pretend, and you're trying to get a boost while you can, because eventually it's gonna go back to normal, and all this praise that they're getting, that's gonna stop. The police will always get the praise. I'm not talking about the officers. The police officers,
I see what you're saying. I agree. You're right. You're absolutely right. I already heard. I saw somewhere Kroger is already trying to take back the $2 per hour. Hazard pay thing they were giving their employees already,
because they don't want to pay. They never wanted to pay. That's the thing. They basically are saying, we're gonna force you to go to work with the same pay. We don't care about if you get infected. We're not gonna take extra precautions. We don't care. Basically, when you took this job unknowingly, you basically signed up for your life. People didn't sign up for that because this shit wasn't around, you know. Not trying to fight, it's not like the military, you know. These are not people who are actually in the military, that they're, you know, civilians, quote unquote. Even though they are actually in the hospital, they are civilians. They didn't sign up to say, I'm willing to risk my life, I'm willing to go to war. They didn't sign up for that.
I would have stayed home to avoid this clear photo op, but the job and the people who need help come first. Love the show, D Troubadour. Thank you
for
what you're doing too. And I'm sorry, you know, like I said, these motherfuckers clearly trying to capitalize off of you,
and not to drag it on, but that's the part of propaganda. They want you to think that they're in that together, and they actually are not in that together. Like, they want you to think that we're all in the same, we're all in you. No, we're not. We actually are not.
And I think it's why they want to be at basketball games and shit like that too. It's like, look, it's basically a photo op every game of us standing around the NBA players and the people that the hometown roots for and the crowd. You know, it's almost like they're rooting for us.
Yeah, because we quote unquote don't want you to forget about us. Bitch, we won't forget about you. You're everywhere. But it's like, it's almost like the how people joke about all the McDonald's commercials. That's how it is. It's like a constant subliminal message just posted everywhere. You see it on your TV, you hear it on your radio, you do it at the basketball game, you hear it on the, it's like we want to constantly pump it out there to, regardless of if it's the reality, it's going to be the reality, because we're going to pump it out in the public so till there's no disconnect. And that's how a black man can die and people can turn around and be like, oh, it's okay, because in their mind, the police officers, it's a good thing, because we've been told this over and over and over again repeatedly.
Meanwhile, black people, we really don't see the police that way.
No.
So I can see from other perspectives that are ours, it probably does work. Like, oh, look at our good boys in blue doing blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. for black people, it's like, those motherfuckers would beat my head in without hesitation.
Right. And so the message is not for most brown people. The message is for white folks. The message is not for us. Because to protect and serve actually means for white people only, truth be told. You if you ain't white, they're not really trying to protect and serve you, because the law says they have to. But if the law didn't say they have to, reality is that they wouldn't.
EBE says Diddy's vote for die vote or die initiative certainly didn't work well, because we got Bush for a second term that year. I think he needs to sit this one out. I feel you, but I mean, he got Joe Biden to release his black agenda, y'all. Would have never happened without Diddy on Instagram talking to Naomi Campbell.
Of course not.
The poll was, do you season your tub with Ajax or Comet before cleaning it? Yes or no?
Yes.
I absolutely do. I did it this week.
I need to clean the other tub.
And I got like a scrub thing, power tool type thing that my man Mike Felder told me about. And I use that to go to town on the tub.
Yeah, that helped, because I'm old and that scrubbing on your knees and shit, though. You fuck around, they can't get back up.
Yeah, I bought a new one too.
Okay, good.
So hopefully I'll be here soon. Anyway, 75% of our audience does season it with some Ajax or Comet. 25% of our audience doesn't. So I don't know if that's the white contingent or what. Green Eye Bandit says, I use soft scrub, but yes, whatever cleaner I use has to marinate until I remember half a day later. Oh yeah, the tub, shaking my head. Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. And for me, it's literally until I remember, until I'll be like, oh shit, I gotta take a bath. Shit, now I gotta clean tub before I take a bath.
Allegra says, I'm a Comet person, and back when I had a tub, I'd season for like at least 10 minutes before scrubbing. Yes, I believe this is a blacks only process. Yeah, like I assume white people buy Comet and Ajax, but I do not assume that they let the shit just sit on their shit mm-hmm. for a long time.
They don't.
Or for some period of time. I've seen people say as short as 5 or 10 minutes. To which, bravo to y'all, I don't have the discipline. If mm-hmm. if I let it sit 5 or 10 minutes,
overnight.
It's sitting for at least an hour or two before I come back to it.
Sometimes the next day if I remember.
Mm-hmm. What? This week, I think I let mine sit for at least a day or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have two tubs, though. I think if I had one tub, I wouldn't do that, because obviously I need to take a shower at some point. Kim Doc says, I use Comet about once every 2 weeks as the major scrub and polish agent. I found that if I have drainage issues, if I do this more frequently than that, must be the pipes here. Oh yeah, I guess it could cause some type of buildup. I don't know. Random, have y'all ever used Kaboom? I got some from Amazon since the supermarket cleaning product aisle has cobwebs hanging from the shelves where I go. You can find even a piece of scrub or the dust from tissue. Oh, you can't. Yeah, I'm sure you can't. What the fuck, people? First of all, the nozzles on all three cans are cracked, so you know I'm super pissed. I made it work from some bootleg engineering skills. Went to spray the tub and some blue colored mist jumped out like a projectile. I screamed, what the fuck? Jumped back. That's a wild. Where's the product warning? I thought somebody was trying to catch a bitch slipping. It cleared up in seconds, so I wonder what the heck was the point of the theatrics, lol. Why y'all ain't telling me? I got kittens to raise, lol. The tub looks all sparkly, by the way, so go out and get this blue mist or whatever. I think we've used Kaboom.
I think we have.
I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say we have. I thought Kaboom was more for like toilet stuff, but I guess it would work for a tub too.
Yeah, and I've used all types of stuff, even the the spray,
mildew spray stuff.
Yeah, and the thing about the mildew spray stuff, maybe because I'm older, but that shit don't work. They be like, just spray it and let it sit. No, you actually got to use elbow grease. You know, they act like you just spray it and this is just, no, it don't eat the shit up. You actually have to scrub.
Lila says, comment, I'm triggered. My dad was ex-military, and although I couldn't see it, he always claimed he could still see a ring. Lying ass, I do season it with the sativa, Clorox, or Barkeepers.
I don't know, military, like your daddy got out the military is, you could be upstairs, you could be downstairs, and you could be like, hey Roger, how you doing? Y'all shut up with that noise down there. You be like, the fuck? Why? How do you got these radar ears?
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a function of the military, because my grandmamas, they stay in the military at all, and they definitely had the same amount of hearing. I think that's hereditary or something. My grandma could tell you was opening up the fridge at the front of the house at 2 a.m. when she was supposed to be asleep, so. but the other thing though was, my dad was military. He was very anal about cleaning when we was kids. I'm not nearly as clean as my dad at this point, at all. Like,
no, I'm not a clean,
but my dad was super like he would take the extra time to do the job right, elbow grease, you know, that type of stuff. List of chores, you know, and I mean, and I, it wasn't about, I don't, at the time, it was just that, you know, it was do that shit or get a whooping. So it was done the way he wanted it done. And that meant the tub. And yeah, you would clean like the toilet or clean the tub thinking you did a good job. And he come in and be like, no, like this shit still got a ring. Clean this shit better. And you got to clean it till he's satisfied, or else you ain't going outside, or you ain't playing video games or whatever.
Yeah, at least, well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but, you know, for me, instead of my mama making me do that, but she would just not have the patience, and she would just be like, she would literally be like, let me do it, and bump me out the way. So a lot of shit I didn't learn how to do till I became an adult, because my mom was like, you fuck it up, so I'm not even gonna waste my time teaching you. So I didn't learn how to wash my clothes until I got to college. I didn't learn how to cook until I got to college, none of that shit, because she was just like, fuck it.
Yeah, well, my dad was like, you'll figure it out if you just keep having to do it, because you're gonna want to go do other shit at some point. And you know, if you want to go play basketball, then the tub's gonna get clean. That was the truth, you know. And guess what, he was right. The tub got clean, the, you know, the toilet got clean, whatever, the floor got swept exactly how he wanted. And then also have questions in the chat. See, Kim Doc says, do you recount your dreams to someone? I tell my sister so I don't forget. I don't.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on what it is.
So who do you recount it to?
You, if I remember.
I don't know if you've ever.
I mean, it's been
told
a,
me about a
it's
dream.
It's been a while.
So I think the answer is no.
I know one time I told my mama about a dream I had about her ex-husband one time. And that, you know, that's about it. Like it's not a lot of dreams that I remember, but like I said, if I remember them very vividly.
Yeah, but the question was, do you recount the dreams to people?
Oh, not on a consistent basis, no.
Yeah, me neither. What's the name of that tool you use to scrub the tub? Go on Amazon and look for, I think it was like tub scrubber or something. I cannot remember the name off the top of my head. Maybe, oh wait, let me look on my Amazon order history.
Yeah, it got a long arm too. I like it. I'm gonna get a hold
well,
of it.
Well, I had one of them before that cost like $50 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 40. It was from Clorox, I think. But I don't have that anymore. This one.
Yeah, cause like I said, I'm old. That getting down on your knees, you be like, oh, hurt your back.
Okay, this one's called Upgraded Spin Scrubber by We Me US 360 Degrees Electric. All right, there you go. That should be enough to find it on Amazon. but yeah, I like that thing. It definitely helps to clean the tub, as opposed to getting in there, getting the brush, and really. I don't think it's as good as getting a brush though.
Okay, right, cause
getting in there and getting the brush is just so fucking hard on your knees and your joints and shit.
Yes sir, I'm like, fuck that.
Ms. Barnes says, I used to make a Comet paste and let it sit in the tub. I scrubbed it and then took a Brillo pad or the other pad with the soap on it and scrubbed the hell out of my tub. I have since graduated up to scrub bubbles and an automated scrub wand. Yeah, I can't imagine. Plus the other thing too is like when you do that, there's by hand, you also got to start taking protections like with like covering your face mm-hmm. and your eyes,
right? Because you breathing that shit in, and mm-hmm. then you know you're not also in conjunction to that. Like I said, your back, your joints, and shit. And the biggest thing, by the time you fucking clean the tub, you done broke a sweat and just time to bathe.
Right. 2099, they're still killing us was the episode. We had a couple comments. D. Ramsey says, sitting here listening to the first 30 minutes of this episode, I'm just tired. Tired of innocent black and brown people dying because certain folks are in their feelings. My father and brother both have guns, and I'm pretty sure that neither of them would use them to protest the reopening of their individual states, Alabama and Texas. Yeah, man, I did see in Michigan, though, there was a group of black people that was with guns that were escorting people to Michigan, like, state house or whatever. Basically, like, we just want to show that, you know.
Y'all ain't the only one with guns. Y'all come in here acting a fucking fool.
I'm thankful for life and the works of Ida B. Wells Barnett and many others who advocate for our communities. Every time I go to my food/shopping runs with my mask, I wonder who looks at me sideways as a black woman because of their ignorance, prejudice against me because I'm black and a woman shaking my with a mask, minding my own business. Hashtag makes me want to holler, don't it? Yeah, man, it's weird though. Like, I don't know why, but with the mask thing, I have not had that paranoia. But I understand, and I've seen accounts of black people who are dealing with that current, like, what are they gonna say when I have my mask on thing. Now I'm hopefully not setting myself up for some, like, surprise, here goes the racism, but I mean, you can't really prepare for that kind of shit anyway, so but I'm thankful. I feel like the whole lockdown has been something that I've really taken in stride. Cause there's nothing I can do about it. It's not my fault. It's no one's fault other than Donald Trump and the people with more power than us. And you just gotta wait it out. I miss seeing and touching and hanging out with my family and stuff. You know, I definitely miss that kind of stuff. But you know, you just want to make it through. I want all my people to be safe. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice, I want them to be safe.
Right.
Take precautions and, you know, you just have to wait it out and be patient, and hopefully scientists are somewhere doing their thing and figuring out, you know, some type of method to help us out here. And right. There's never been a bigger incentive for the globe to figure this shit out than what we're going through right now. So I think that's why I've been able to, like, be calm, but maybe I'm too calm. I don't know, because I haven't even thought about, like, man, if they see me with my mask on, they better not do something, because I've just been like, why would you? Everyone got a mask on.
Yeah, like, we see a little bit of everybody with a mask on.
Like, and if you was going to be racist because I have a mask on as a black person, you was going to be racist because I'm a black person anyway.
Come on.
At least that's how I feel. But you know what? Maybe that's why some black people ain't wearing the mask.
That's true, too.
Maybe it's a different thing than these, like, white people walking around talking about freedom and shit, and there's black people that's probably scared that they can get killed.
Hello. Or that you using the coronavirus as another reason to harass us.
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Shoebag says, my comment is lighthearted. That Kate Beckinsdale is a middle-aged cougar goals. She stays with young dick, and I'm not mad at her. She's also fine as fuck. When you're an unproblematic white person that uses sunscreen. Yep. You know, she kind of remind me a little bit of how I feel about Eve, where you know, the former rapper Eve, where she just be like, I'm minding my fucking business. Like, we don't never really see Eve saying no stupid shit, and she be on TV every day, and she don't never go viral for no stupid shit. She just get a check, be married to a rich man, and living life. Good for her.
Come on.
Hey y'all, this is from Really Dark Night. Hey y'all, I listened to this episode on Thursday, and this has been how my week has gone. One, I hear the story of Ahmaud Arbery, then get to watch the video go up and down the timeline. Two, Watch the salon owner in Texas get sent to jail by a black judge. The governor and legislator gets her dumb ass out of jail and get $300,000 in a GoFundMe. Yep. Three, I see a story of two Latinas in Texas who stayed in jail for violating the stay-at-home order. Of course. Four, watching the Department of Justice drop charges against a man who pleaded guilty for a crime that he committed. A white man. Five, watch as the president doesn't give one fuck that people are dying of the Rona. Well, you know what's funny is that's how the week went for all of us.
Right, yes.
Not just you. That week, the week has been...
I didn't see the video, just heard, yeah.
Yeah, the week has been that way. But it was something else you brought up in there that made me want to think about. Oh yeah, them letting out that white lady salon owner and her getting $300,000 for their GoFundMe. Peak white privilege. Because that law was not ever intended to incarcerate white people.
No. Mm-mm.
And like, if you look at further into the reasoning, part of the reasoning was like, well, we don't want her to get the COVID-19 while she in jail. And I'm like, then why is anyone in jail?
Hello.
If that's the fucking argument, I mean, what's to stop her from breaking the law tomorrow? I wonder what he's going to do tomorrow. I wonder what he's going to do today. I really could go on, but I won't. My point is, I'm in a state of rage and sadness at the same time. If people don't think that my 5 points aren't related, they are. If you want to have a prosecutor to be president because she was a cop, if you are just gonna shrug as people are dying in the streets while white folks refuse to put on a mask and boycott Costco, this is related. The president is the embodiment of white supremacy and he doesn't give a damn about black and brown folks dying. This too is related. White folks are losing their minds because they don't want to stay home and they have to keep themselves and others protected. They couldn't be black for a week and live with the restrictions that we face. So I have rage about us dying, white people doing the most in the streets, and people online still crying, earn this vote or lose. Still in 2020. The dynamics of being black in this country is a lot, and that makes me sad. Peace. I feel you.
Yes.
Absolutely feel you on that, man. I've just been doing a good job of ignoring and not engaging these dumbasses, man. I can't.
Same, and I've kind of, like you say, feed my social media over time. A lot of that shit I don't see.
Yeah, this is those fucking, like, lemmings jumping off the, you know, running into the side of the... Those motherfuckers just gotta go do that. So they still... after all this are gonna just run out and, you know, commit voter suicide by either not voting or voting third party or whatever. Hey man, that's the choice you made. I just know I can control what I do and the words that come out of my mouth, and I'm gonna do my damnedest to get people out here to say, hey, we gotta get Trump out of office.
Agreed.
I mean, the man is literally making sure Michael Flynn is not going to face any consequences. Like, there,
anybody that went to jail on his behalf, he's going to be sure they are not charged.
Wendy says, I was really hoping y'all would play one of JoJo's bops just so I could hear it again. And y'all did. Haha, I lived for her for a hot minute in my teens. She was like 14 to 17 when she was on top. She was on top? Wow. I don't know how I've never heard of this girl. I had just thought she was another child star that fizzled out. On a related note, someone on Twitter got kind of upset that we didn't know JoJo. I was like, I don't know what to tell you about this white lady.
I don't, y'all know me, I don't keep up with nobody.
I don't dislike her. On a related note, the juxtaposition of the outrage / sadness I felt during the first section discussing Ida and the most recent shooting in comparison to the annoyance I felt about JoJo Taylor and them being dogged out by their labels is what makes white people news art, isn't it? They be going through it, but at the end of the day, the floor for them is like a trampoline because it's whiteness.
Yeah, and they're just gonna bounce back up again.
Like, the flow for niggas is the flow. You hit the flow, you die. The flow for them is like, you know,
you hit the flow, you break a leg.
It's like, oh no, I'm falling, boing. Oh, I forgot I was white. I'm back on top, y'all. I'm making music again.
We hit the ground, we might not get back up.
Even at its worst, white people problems are nothing compared to our pain and struggles. Yeah. Let's see. The poll was, should they take Harrison Ford's airplane license away? Yes or no?
That's a good question. I would go yes, because this is like the second or third accident he's had.
Yeah, I say yes too, because I feel like when this nigga does fly directly into somebody's 747, we're gonna be like, oh, they should have been took his license.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if it's old, his sight, his hearing, I don't know, but you can't do this, sir. Pay somebody else to fly.
Man, do you not have to pass a pilot's license like every so often, like a airplane,
you know, like a
driver's license?
I don't know.
Anyway, 96% of our audience says yes, get off the damn plane, Harrison Ford, and 4% says no. Which Harrison must listen to the show, I don't know. Sofa King says, hell yes, they should take Harrison Ford's pilot license. That man is the same age as my dad. Ain't nobody that old got any damn business flying no plane. Right.
And my thing is, I don't care about you flying a plane. It's just for the fact that he has a record of fucking crashing and not obeying and all. That's the problem.
Well, I'm scared because when you get to that age, you might be like, it was close to my time anyway. But that don't make it the rest of the people on the fucking runway's time. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, how many times has he almost got a crash? Take it away. Miss Barnes says, not the Millennium Falcon. It's fucking assessing the plane. Yank his license. Yeah.
I guess Chewie did need to be his co-pilot or the pilot. Shit.
And the last episode of the week was actually episode 2100. And it was called Murder Karens. Got two comments, both from the same person. Kim Doc says, how Republicans not getting this virus? How? Why is it just us? Haven't our people been through enough? What the fuck? Even though Secret Service members have it, do you have to be wildly evil to escape the symptoms? Sorry for the double comment, but this shit is aggravating to me. If they got it, they would care more, I guess. Fuck them.
Wouldn't surprise me if Donald Trump and Pence were asymptomatic.
I have no idea how the fuck they don't got it.
Right, that's why I said they got it.
And I also don't know about I don't know. Like, how can they be asymptomatic? How many people are asymptomatic? It's like, the thing I was reading was saying, like, 10 to 15%. It wasn't like some high percentage of asymptomatic people. So what's the odds of they old ass both being able to get it and just, it don't have no symptoms, no effect?
Right, that's why, like I said, I'm put on my, open up a third eye and put on my tinfoil cap. I don't think neither one of them got tested, is going to get tested. I don't care what you say, they're not going to get tested, and they're going to turn around and say, we ain't got it. I really feel like that.
I mean, I guess they could be lying about getting tested. The thing for me is, I hold them apparently in a much lower opinion than you do, because I believe those craven cowards definitely get tested. And they test everyone around them, which is why we know who got it.
Mm.
Why the fuck do we know that? They're testing everybody. They're probably testing them fucking daily, maybe even multiple times a day. Because they're fucking afraid to get it. Because they have the luxury and the privilege of being in positions where they can get everyone tested around them. While telling everyone else, go to work. We don't have enough tests? Too bad. Tough it out. We can't shut the economy down. Meanwhile, these niggas probably got, you know, Trump's valet tested positive or whatever, his driver. Yeah, because they're testing him.
Right, because they're testing him.
They're testing all the people, all the access to them they are testing. They're testing themselves, I'm sure. Like, they're the worst type of coward. Like, they talk that shit, they don't even believe that shit. Because if they really believed it, they'll be like, you know, don't test me, I don't give a fuck, and don't test my people. I'm telling everyone in America to go out, we don't need tests, do whatever the fuck you want to do, you'll be fine.
And I guess to me, indirectly, that's what you're saying. Like, you don't have to say it for me to feel that's how you feel.
What do you mean?
I feel like they don't give a fuck, and they're telling people don't get tested and go against the governor and protest and don't give a fuck and spread the virus. That's what you're telling people to do, even though you're testing everybody around you.
Well, yeah, that's my point. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I guess we're saying the same thing. That's what I'm saying. They are actively telling the rest of the world ain't nothing to worry about.
Right.
But they in the crib worried as fuck. All they Secret Service agents getting tested. Like 11 of them tested positive. That means y'all tested all of them. You know what I mean? That means you're testing them tomorrow. That means you're testing them
probably every time they show up. Couple times.
Yeah, like you probably test, because the other thing is, it takes a while to build up enough of the virus in you to pass to be positive in the test anyway. So it's possible. I didn't know that. Yeah, it's possible to have it, but not necessarily have the levels in it that would make you test positive.
Or make you sick. I'm assuming make you immediately make you
well,
sick.
Yeah, or make okay. you sick as well, or if you're gonna get sick. So, right. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot to think about on this shit. Anyway, the poll, are people being racist against Asian hornets by calling them murder hornets? Yes or no?
No.
Yes. 40% say yes, 60% say no. Kim Doc says, one day we'll really come to terms with just how fucked up and racist these times have truly been. People are still in cages, but we can do nothing about that with the virus taking up all the air. Same thing with DACA or Bessie DeVos and her devilish acts against women in academia, against people of color. I could have listed 800 other issues they created, the least of which is more death without mitigation or care. This administration has mastered how to distract at every turn when they need to. Words like cruelty and corruption will never suffice. Fuck the Republican Party forever. I don't give a fuck. All this to say that the murderous bee moniker is racist, but the bees are fortunate. They don't have to care. We do. Well, I feel you, but I feel like if we got to sit and talk to some bees, they probably care. You know? It's probably pretty hurtful.
What about the bee on bee crime?
Wow. Hope you're proud of your self-care.
Yes, I am. What about the crime in B Chicago?
704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. You can call or leave messages as long as it's 2 minutes or less.
Yo, what's up, Rod? Karen, this is Mr. Stan up here in Detroit and whatnot. I'm catching up on some of the shows, man. I've been behind on some of the shows, and I'm listening to episode 2098. Y'all talking about that Ring doorbell? You're right, man. You're absolutely right. That Ring doorbell will have you paranoid like a motherfucker, man, for real. I got one of them joints, man. And I'll never forget, man, one night, me and my wife were laying up in the bed, and the Ring doorbell was kind of going off, and I turned to my phone and like to look at the video or whatever, and it looked like somebody was breaking into my car, right? So I grab one of the guns, get up out of the bed, run outside real quick, get out to my motherfucking car. The doors is locked. I don't see nobody. So I'm like, well, I'll be damn, man. What the fuck's wrong with this? So I go back in the house, I grab my phone, and I take a look at the video again, and I'll be goddamn, man, if it ain't me, my car to grab a case and be out the back seat. That damn Ring doorbell had me thinking I broke into my own goddamn car, man. That's some bullshit. That's some goddamn bullshit, man. for real. So yeah, man, like the paranoia that Ring doorbell will like induce is crazy. And then when you talk about like the neighborhood part of it, where like everybody is reporting everything is suspicious now.
I had to turn
it off. It's kind of nuts, man. But you are absolutely right, Rod. That shit will have you go crazy. Especially if the damn sensitivity ain't turned down. Everything gets alerted to you on that thing. But, yo, man, y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Y'all have fun doing what y'all doing. And I will talk to you guys again soon. See you later. Peace.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Span.
Thank you, Mr. Span.
And this is exactly what I was talking about. Karen is fucking such a...
I broke into my own car.
Karen's such a car-carrying member of the Ring corporate family over here that I can't even get no jokes off about it.
I am bought and paid. I turned the sensitivity off. I was like, no, don't tell me no neighborhood shit. It's a thing when you go in there and it's in the settings. It's just for the neighborhood. I'm like, don't remind me, never.
Yeah, well, the fact that the camera made you suspicious of yourself is exactly what I'm talking about. You was looking hella criminal in that motherfucking shit. I know you was. Cause it's
all
meant to
black
make,
and white.
It's meant to make everybody look like a damn criminal, man.
They did a close up on you, Mr. Span.
It's a scale I mean, it's a product that really does justify paying for it because you so scared all the time. You be like, I definitely can't afford to turn off this Ring. I know that much. I'm gonna keep paying the money. Like, yeah, you see yourself coming in the house or taking out the trash and be like, oh my God, I'm getting robbed of my trash. Oh, it's me. in the neighborhood thing, man, some of the stuff they be reporting, it's some of it's not
ridiculous. A bell was out there, somebody recorded it and everything.
It wasn't even in my city, y'all. It wasn't even close to me. They said 2 miles away, but they was like, yeah, I'm out here in Huntersville or whatever. I'm like, yeah, nigga, you are 30 minutes away. Of course there's bears out there.
Yes it is, in Huntersville.
I live in a fucking city, okay? Stop tagging me the shit.
That's why I turned Deputy Drew off.
Yeah, I left a comment. I said, was it looking for picnic baskets? But nobody did overfly.
Nobody gave it a laughing face.
Yeah, I guess people don't fuck with my comedy on there. We got one more.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Monica. I'm at MontyCast on Twitter. I'm in Manhattan here in New York City. Hanging in there. Things are okay. I just listened to the first 45 minutes or so of episode, I think it's 2099, They're Still Killing Us, and I wanted to call you guys. It was extremely depressing and sad and raw, and I just wanted to let you both know that I hear you and I'm sorry, but especially Rod, just appreciate you being so vulnerable and emotional, you know, talking about, I guess your pessimism, which a lot of times I feel on board with, but then I appreciate hearing Karen give your point of view about your optimism, and that's why you guys are so amazing, because you have balance, and I definitely have more Rod in me than Karen, but I appreciate you both, and I just wanted to say that I hear you, and I'm one of those people who doesn't always agree with you, Rod. I'm not left, but I'm maybe left-leaning, open to left ideas, more sort of tending toward that, and I think I found myself disagreeing with you sometimes in the past, or many times. But anyway, on this episode, I just really, really understood what you were saying. I just want you to let you know I see you and I hear you. I can't remember how long this is before it gets cut off, but.
Oh, perfect timing. That was when it got cut off, but she did leave another message.
Okay.
So let me finish that one before we, reply. Let it, you know, it's got to do this load up thing over here in the background.
There you go. Hi, it's Monica again. So it is 2 minutes, like I thought. I got cut off. I just wanted to finish up with my thoughts and say that I just really appreciate hearing your point of view. I am Latina. I'm first generation. My parents are immigrants from South America. I've only ever lived in the U.S. and American as can be, but also half and half, right? And growing up, definitely always felt like I was made to feel like we didn't belong here. My parents, my family, you know, that whole good old American racism. I just wanted to say that I've learned so much from your show because of trying to understand what generational racism feels like and oppression, and just carrying all of this. And I could hear that in your voice, to have the weight of generation upon generation, you know, the founding of the country, to be oppressing your own people. And like you said, trying to kill you, you know. I kind of feel that way, except, you know, I've only been here technically a minute, right? First generation. Anyway, I hope some of this makes sense. Love you guys. All right, and the poll on this episode looks funny, so I hope that the show picks up. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie. Thank you.
Yeah, Monica, first of all, thank you for writing in, calling in. Mm-hmm. I know I think it's weird because, you know, I think when you do a show like this, a podcast, that we're doing, you know, we can be funny, we have funny times a lot of times, but mostly it's just trying to be honest. And I try to just be authentic with how I feel and stuff like that. And I'm never trying to make people feel bad. I'm not really trying. I don't know, some days it's just like harder than others or whatever. But I think with the amount of stuff I've read and the things I've experienced and seen, I'm just pragmatic. And I think a lot of black people are pragmatic. And the way that our people express that may come across a bit differently, you know, than white people, right? So there are a contingent of black people that essentially want to be white. They uphold white supremacy. They just believe in that shit. Now, and I'm not saying they don't exist, but that hasn't been my experience in general. Most of the black people I know lean left out of necessity, essentially.
I had a life and death.
But even with that, they're still more prone to be empathetic to things they haven't experienced because they've experienced some other things, right? So, all that stuff to say, like, I try to be empathetic, I try to have a heart for other people, but when I arrive at different conclusions politically than folks, is never out of a because fuck them place or because I don't want the world to improve, I don't want things to be better or whatever. It's just it's just so fucking hard to believe in something when you're looking at what we've been through and what where we are. It's just hard to believe this country is capable of the things people think it is. And it's not these are bad ideas, it's just simply like, what about this place makes you think you can do that? You know, this is to this is tainted soil. This is like trying to grow something in a place that has had the soil poisoned, you know. And I appreciate the little things as much as I do appreciate the big things, but when you look at historically what the fuck we have attempted to do, there's progress, but it has come at the cost of lives.
Always.
It has come at the cost of, time. It has come at the cost of our health. All of this stuff, in this country. And at the same time, you know, like, it makes me pessimistic. I feel like I'm more realistic than pessimistic, but, you know, that's a matter of different opinions, right? And stuff, but I feel like I'm a realist. I don't feel like I'm saying anything. I'm not a person who hopes for the worst.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like, I feel like some people are pessimistic. I guess to me, pessimistic is I'm hoping that things go bad so I can say I was right. And I like, I'm a realist of saying these are all the factors I see affecting things as they are. And so that leads to how I think what things will be. And then I think a lot of optimistic people are like, fuck the circumstances of now, fuck the history of everything, this is what I want things to be and it's just gonna happen. And I think that's a thing that really that brand of optimism is a big turnoff to me.
Okay, that particular brand, because like I say, I don't feel that way, even though I'm an optimistic person.
Right.
You know, I am optimistic in reality. Mm-hmm. And I want things to happen and I desire these things to happen, but also I understand that there is a history behind certain things. I understand you can't just hope and wish and pray. You have to put work behind these things and put effort behind these things and still be, and I can do those things and still be optimistic that there will be a change at the same time.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the reason I wouldn't say I'm a pessimist is because, like, I believe Joe Biden's gonna win. I feel like if I was a pessimist, I'd be like, he gonna lose. You know, I didn't like him. He's not my candidate. I don't think he's even that great of a candidate. So, he gonna lose because simply, you know, those things. And that's how a lot of people feel right now. But then I realistically had to look at the turnout numbers, especially in the swing states, and I'm like, oh no, he should win. These are the numbers that mean you win. Now who knows how the pandemic and stuff will affect all that,
right?
Who, you know, there's a bunch of other things that could happen, but to me that is my optimism. I am choosing to believe Joe Biden should win this. You know, I could do the thing that people do where it's like conspiracy theorist and he gonna steal the election, or they not gonna leave, he gonna start a war, he gonna kill everybody. Like, I could choose to be like that, but nobody ever says anything about those people being pessimist and shit, that, you know. But to me, that's a pessimistic point of view, you know. So I'm going off the evidence that we have, and maybe I'll be shocked and he'll lose, and I'll be shocked that Trump loses and won't leave office or something. I'm fine. I leave some room to be shocked, you know. But there's just stuff that I don't know how. I feel like it's almost a slap in the face to act like some of this shit is easy, you know. And I think recently, within the last 10 years, I have watched people say they had the will to do something, and when it got a little tough, give the fuck up, hand the country back to Republicans. And so I don't believe in those people, and I never will. They have to prove to me that they are that they will push through what they said they want. Okay, Americans like to talk a lot of grand shit.
Mm-hmm.
We do. But when it comes time to the grit and the grime of it, people do not have the wherewithal. This is a country that fought a civil war, and they patted themselves on the back, and then they let the South be more deadly for black people 8 years later. This is not the country of high-minded ideals that we put on the propaganda and we promote throughout the world. This is not us. You know, this is the country that pats itself on the back for saving everyone through World War II, while, you know, in America, still killing black people. You know, this is a country that feels like the murder of Ahmaud Arbery is a partisan discussion. Depending on what your politics are, is what how you see that tape. So maybe it is generational. I don't know. That, like, the one thing I won't knock people for, and I try my best to stay off of it on the show, but I don't knock young people for pushing the boundaries.
No.
I don't have a problem with them saying, I'm dreaming of a world, because this is the world they are going to inherit.
Right.
So if they want to believe some shit that is like, that my old ass is like, this is crazy, that's not gonna happen, our generation wanted the same shit and it didn't work, and blah, blah. I'm not mad at them at all, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what the youth do. Every youth does that. Every new generation pushes.
But the one thing about the people that are older is that they used to be young.
Correct.
And they have seen some shit, you know. They're not just coming to these conclusions. And the one thing I will say throughout my life is I always did have a wherewithal to listen to older people.
Same.
Because they are a fount of knowledge, but also because my highest ideals is to be one of them.
Come on.
You only get two choices, you know. So I've had those moments. I remember C. Dolores Tucker talking about hip-hop and how it was so misogynistic and violent and it was bad, and I was like, man, fuck C. Dolores Tucker, man. And, you know, I'm with Snoop Dogg and all them, like, I don't know what's wrong with that woman. And then I didn't have to get old to realize it, but, you know, in the middle of all that, I do remember at some point being like, well, damn, I guess it is kind of fucked up, the things that we're saying, and we're essentially saying this shit about other people in our race. We're talking about killing our own people, we're talking about being abusive to our own women, we're talking about you know, selling our own people and shit. Like, she does have a point that those aren't good values. Like, what am I gonna, you know, I gotta get to be 60 before I can say that. But, you know, it's just life. I see older people now talking about the kids, the music the kids listen to now, and that, and a lot of their stuff comes from that point of view of, well, now that I'm older, I'm going, this is a bad idea, but we listen to the shit growing up. And mm-hmm. you know,
that's why I don't bash them.
I try to find balance is what I'm trying to say. So
agreed.
And I appreciate you listening to the show, even though you seem like you don't agree. I think also that just happens a lot, specifically with me, where people that listen to the show, they don't really fuck with me, or they disagree with me on certain things, but you know, they come back anyway. And you know, to a certain extent, it's kind of an honor that people feel like, and I feel like that's just them feeling like I'm authentic, at least.
True.
Like, he's not pandering to me, because I feel like there's a lot of people that say the right shit because they know all the right words and they say the most bombastic bullshit, but they don't mean it.
Mm-mm.
You know, like they just saying the shit that they think people want to hear, but you can tell that that's just not their real feelings about things. You see it all the time, you know, or they get caught up in like trying to impress everybody online. And you know, I've been in that situation before where it's like, I gotta keep saying things, I gotta do this, I gotta find some kind of way to let the people, and it's just like, nah, that's okay.
It is.
All right, but thank you for writing in. And you know, I hate that episode was so sad, but I was sad. You know, I watched that video, and it wasn't some thing I need to watch it to make myself, it wasn't even that. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't trying to watch the video like that in the way of like I sought it out, because mm-hmm. To be honest, man, I know we were gonna talk about it, and part of my integrity for the show is, I feel like if I'm gonna be discussing something like that, I should watch it.
That's understandable,
and I understand a lot of people don't feel that way. I don't tell people anything negative when they don't want to watch that stuff. I don't go and watch all of them, you know, but sometimes I have to. And especially when the first article I read was saying how, you know, it was a struggle and he did this and he did that, and I was like, what the fuck could it have been, you know, like my own brain, because I know what I thought it was, but I'm like, maybe what if this is the time where I click on this shit and I see that they got some type of point. I needed to know. And it's like I already knew before I hit play, but now, you know, and I've seen people make different points, you know, people have been bringing up different black people who've been killed by the police or killed or died within the community, you know, people brought up trans women of color that have been killed. Absolutely. We talk about it on our show, mm-hmm. you know, but the community doesn't come together the way it does for stuff like this. There's a black woman who was killed, Deanna something, she was killed in her home. No, the police did it, so of course, you know, they wasn't charged with murder, but you know, no, I don't think they have it on video or whatever, but same thing, you know, I get those people that feel that way too, man. It just feels like it's a lot of misery.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Going around right now.
Yeah, and I said, I'm one of the people that don't watch, and I have my reasons why. But yeah, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I believe it. I don't have to see it to know that it's real.
Not like I said, this is a personal choice, and mm-hmm. It's why I don't say shit like, why y'all got to show black death? And because honestly, for a lot of people, they got to see it.
That's true, right?
Nothing would have happened if this shit didn't go viral.
Agreed.
This family doesn't get justice. Now the real question is, why the fuck do we live in a country where this has to go viral for anyone for the wheels of justice to get turned? That's the question. How it makes you feel and stuff is important, and you shouldn't downplay that. So if it makes you feel however you feel, you're entitled to those feelings. But the fact is, the proof, we have proof. It doesn't move when we just put the words on the paper, and it doesn't move when white people get to tell people what the fuck they say happened. So when the white person murders you and gets to tell the world, you know, hey, this motherfucker was a shit, they're a criminal, so nothing to see here, yeah, we got a video, let's not show that to nobody, nothing happens. You know, so it took a fucking video. It's,
yeah, and I'm glad and I'm thankful for the people that actually watched it. Like, yeah, somebody has to watch it. So I am glad and I am thankful that people did watch and they did share. And I know people feel certain ways, but I know for me, I have all the automatic play things turned off across all my social media.
This wasn't that, I said, this wasn't me accidentally. I was looking at an article. It's like, and the video is posted here, and I said, fuck it, I need to see. You know, I don't always make that choice, but I needed to fucking see. You know, I don't know what to tell people. If they, maybe you can relate to it, maybe you can't, but I needed to know. And I don't feel ashamed of needing to know. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew it would make me feel a certain way, I still would do it again because I needed to fucking know. I just, like, I don't know. And I saw people saying, like, if I die, don't you share that video of me getting killed. And I said, so then don't give you justice. Just let you die in vain, because that's what the fuck happens. And we still don't know that they're gonna get justice out of this. This just gets the ball rolling. They could easily dismiss all the charges against these people. It happens all the time. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It was just a depressing ass thing, but.
Yeah, and like I said, it, for some people, it is something in them that they have to, view it and they have to see it. And I'm thankful for those people. But then I know that there are people like me that go, I'm good.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that. I'm not attacking you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not trying to make it personal or anything. Mm-hmm. This is just for me. So I hope you're not taking it as any slight towards you or anybody that doesn't want to watch this shit. I get it. I needed to watch it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this had nothing to do with, I would never be like, and you niggas, like those people, I don't get those people, and I don't understand the point of that. Mm-mm. But I'm not one of those people, so I hope nobody is listening to this, taking any of this as a, some sort of, you know, y'all couldn't take it and I could type of shit, cause I don't do that.
Right, like they got some super extra strength, of getting beat that I'm just not, how I view and my opinions aren't valid because I didn't watch that video.
Yeah, it's not a competition.
Right.
You know, so. Man, I don't know. Are people in the chat or is it broken? I don't know.
No, I see people moving. I see people posting.
Damn. But my shit is broke.
Oh, well, refresh then.
All right, give me a second, everybody. My bad, y'all. My bad. It hadn't moved in like an hour. Let me pause. Mm-hmm. But anyway, appreciate you writing in, voicemailing in, and, you know, really thank you for listening. I think right now it's so rare that people listen to folks they disagree with. It's like a fucking unicorn these days,
right? Like, most people are like, I don't agree with you, fuck you. It's like, okay, sometimes it's good to listen to people with differing views,
especially if you respect their thought process, which is what, right. I do this a lot, by the way. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't agree with a lot of people. Obviously, I'm a unique person, so there's no one I agree with 100% of the time, no matter who the fuck they are.
Right.
But it's like a lost, I don't know, it's like a lost thing where people go, yeah, I consume this media, I don't agree with it, you know. And you can tell because of the way people grandstand, where they're like, y'all watch or you listen to or you follow blank. It's like, yes, I didn't sign up to become a fucking acolyte of this thing. I just consume it. Like,
right.
You know, you watch Love and Hip Hop. Does that mean you fucking cheat on your girlfriend? I mean, those two things don't have to be the same. You can, mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times with podcasts and stuff, that's how I learn, or it's how I get put on the different points of view, or at least learn to respect and understand people's point of view. You know, I'm not I'm not as liberal and left as certain people. I'm not as conservative as certain people. I'm not as woke as certain people. I haven't read the same thing. Had different life experiences than other people, but I would like to be able to understand where they're coming from if they're a good, genuine person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope people can, do the same thing for us, man, cause I definitely don't assume y'all niggas are just like agreeing with everything.
Mm-mm, I hope you're not.
All right, let's get to the emails. The black guy who tips at gmail.com is the emails address. The best is by Ken Uncle K. Long time. He donated this week. Long time listener, first time reaching out. Found y'all through Podomatic in 2012. I know this is a long time listening without reaching out, but I had to reach out and tell y'all how great your show is over the years. I saw your podcast grow from playing music while you were talking to Karen finding her voice, which I love. And Rod always encouraging Karen to voice her opinion. To have an all types of guests on your show because they were interesting, and you guys were the first for me to have other podcasts on to give them more listeners. Oh yeah, absolutely, man. That was, I know we was ahead of the curve on that. Yeah. We was ahead of the curve on that.
And at first people were like, you won't invite me? Why?
Right. Like, it was how, first of all, not why, confused. How. It wasn't even why, it was how.
Yeah.
Not everyone had the technology or the capability. I'm sure there were people.
Or just when Skype started popping.
I'm sure there were people before us too, but we were definitely like reaching out to everybody, having everybody on, you know, not as much as we do now. I mean, we don't do it as much now. We kind of established some things, but, shit. Some of them guests slipped through the cracks too. It's like, look back later. I'm like, man, I don't even know why we had this nigga on the show. So.
What?
But yeah, thank you, for listening that long. And, yeah, definitely with Karen also finding her voice and, becoming more outspoken and funnier and trying new stuff, on the show and all that. Like, I love
the fun
it
game and got better.
Yep. I love it as well. The thing that I admire most about you guys, the quality of podcast you got, and you, work ethic. You two guys work ethic. So when people say they're starting a podcast out of podcast, you guys are my standard. I'm like, give me a consistent stream of podcasts a week of podcasting that I might listen. So you guys are at the top for me. I have listened to you guys and y'all have been in my ears from having my kid graduate high school and go to college to my dad passing. Our condolences. Mm-hmm. Having a daughter. I have been listening and laughing and being informed through all life events with you two guys, with you giving in my opinion with the best pod. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been listening, laughing, and being informed through all these life events with you two, and giving me, in my opinion, the best podcast that I've ever heard. P.S. Look out for my donation. Thank you, Uncle K. Well, we did look out and get it. We're about to get cut off. Let me go to the next session. But yeah, you guys have listened through our life events as well. Like, you know, things have changed since we started this show, mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff. Like, opinions have changed. You know, that was the essence of the show, man, is that y'all don't necessarily sign up to hear certain opinions. Y'all don't sign up to, you know, get certain content. What you're really signing up for is watching me and Karen change and grow and develop every day. That, you know, and as long as we're being honest and authentic, I feel like that's what you're gonna get. And that's really what every podcast is, if you boil it down to it, for the most part, unless they like specifically covering topics or something.
Right.
Almost every podcast is really just watching two people or one person or however many people kind of grow. If they're being real with you. Youssef writes in, wanted to shout out the artists of these parody covers for your podcast. I frequently pause for a second, look at them in detail. Thank you, Youssef. Well, Youssef, those, I just went to Fiverr with two R's.com and, looked at some of the artists on there and started getting them to do projects for us and stuff.
Work has been great.
And I think, you know, and also if you really like this art, all the stuff is in our TeePublic store. If you go to tpublic.com/tbgwt, you can find some of the art, and you know, we do live shows, we sign that stuff, assuming we can be able to be 6 feet within each other. And
right.
And
one day, hopefully.
Right. So we appreciate all that type of stuff. So thank you for the people that that fuck with it, you know. Fiverr, there's also like some people have noticed like the voice that opens the show sometimes it changes lately,
mm-hmm.
Because I also paid like certain impressionists and stuff to do impressions to you can get that done on Fiverr too and be like, hey, give me a voice of Morgan Freeman saying, you know, riding Karen a hot or whatever. And that was what I did. I thought it was funny.
It is hilarious when you go back and listen to it, because periodically I go and I'll just, you know, re-listen to the show, mm-hmm. and I, hey, this ain't the normal intro.
Oh yeah, I didn't know if you had heard it or not.
I heard some of them. I probably didn't hear all of them, but I've heard some of them.
Yeah,
they are hilarious because they're catching me off guard.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows about the sexy dude from
I Love the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, because Rod and Karen are hot.
Like everybody knows the, you know, the sexy English version of the promo,
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You know, everybody knows the original Lisa promo that we have.
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Shout out to Dexter. Shout it out. Yep.
And then I got like a Bob Belcher one from Bob's Burgers to do one of the voiceovers as well, because I'm a big fan of Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And I was getting some Bob's Burgers parody art done for our cover because I thought that would be funny.
Ooh, I'll wait till we get off air about some other ones I thought.
But you know, and I got the Simpsons done, stuff like that. So I thought it'd be like a nice little surprise to the
audience. I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips because Rod and Karen are hot.
Thought it'd be like a nice little surprise for the audience. You know, of course, everyone should know this intro because you guys have heard it on the show a bunch of times, this impression.
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
So I was like, why not, you know? And JL did that one for us. That was nice of him.
Thank you, JL.
Let's see, I think I got one more day for and it didn't even cost a lot on Fiverr. Like, some of these impressions like $5 and shit, like, you know.
To the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, I listen because Rod and Karen are hot.
So that was Yoda. So, you guys know how it is, man. All right, let's see. Trey writes in, apparently G-Mac Cash did a song about Governor Gretchen Whitmer too. Yeah, I've heard this. I've seen it on what do you call it, like Facebook and stuff all the time, you know. It's straight. I feel like he was just kind of, it's more funny than good. Although I thought the Rona one was better, you know, that coronavirus song by G-Mac goes.
Yes, it does.
But the Big Gretch joint is funny, and the visuals and stuff for the video, the pictures they used was pretty funny. So, you know, it also is good, but it ain't, is all I'm saying.
Hey, on behalf G-Mac. Hey, we want to present these buffs to our governor. Big Gretch!
Throw her buffs on her face.
Cause that's Big Gretch. We ain't even about to stress. We got Big Gretch.
You know, YouTube has to load sometimes. It caught up to
the beat on the other one goes harder.
I just
we got Big Gretch. You can find her in the press. Under Big Gretch.
Real.
Fresh in a new dress.
Yeah, that's Big Gretch.
Throw the buffs on her face. Cause that's Big Gretch. We ain't even about to stretch.
We got Big Gretch.
At all.
You can find her in the press.
Under Big Gretch.
Look her up.
Fresh in a new dress.
Yeah, that's Big Gretch.
Come on.
Big Gretch and this bitch playing no roles. Excuse all the cussing. That's just how I get my flow on.
Rip.
You wanna leave the state, you can stay gone. But right now, Big Gretch said stay home.
Set your ass down.
All that protesting was irrelevant. Big Gretch ain't y'all or the president. How we gonna take orders from a non-resident? Talking about his incoming with the evidence.
Uh-oh.
Big Gretch got him shook now. When it's all over, you invited to the cookout. When it's all over, you deserve to get took out. Big Gretch with the buffs on the lookout. And she doing it for Michigan, so when she hit the stand, everybody should be listening. She on that pair of buffs with the ice in them glistening. Old Detroit, Michigan. Throw the buffs on her face, cause that's Big Gretch. We ain't even about to stress. We got Big Gretch.
At all.
You can find...
That has like a, you know, good message, and you know, he makes it funny, which is, you know, I can always support. But yeah, it's not the same as that that coronavirus. It felt like he was more on beat.
Yeah,
this felt like it was a little rushed or whatever.
Achoo!
Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do shit with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. I'ma chill at the crib cause I'm safe here.
Yeah, so that sounds better than me, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So, I like the beat that he goes.
You know, no offense to Big Gretch. You know what I'm saying? All right, and then the last email is from Sean, who says, good morning, Rod and Karen. My coworker sent this to me and I thought you would get a kick out of it. Thank you for all that you do with not only the podcast but being a voice of our community. First of all, thank you. That's heavy. A lot of
weight.
Voice of the community, you know.
I didn't ask for that response.
As I've always said, I speak for the blacks, okay? I would say that I myself am the blackest black.
Don't you listen to him.
Matter of fact, call me Black AF if that's not already taken, okay? Because I feel that when I get paid by the white people to speak on the blacks, that's for us, for the culture, okay? Now, the check all goes to my pocket. But it is for the culture. I will be spending
black capitalism,
this white people's money for the culture, okay? So when you see me on my yacht, know that that's really all of us on my yacht together with me, okay?
Oh, really?
But none of you niggas better come on the yacht, okay? I will have security shoot you right in your black ass. But just know that I'm doing it for us as a voice of the community. Mm-mm. Your words, not mine. You chose to say that. Mm-mm. So I'm gonna just embrace it.
Don't you believe him?
Embrace your compliments in 2020, Karen. I'm sick of this. Black women always downplaying themselves. This man wrote in to call you a voice of the community. Okay? Sit down there and downplay it. Mm-mm. Pump yourself up, girl. You are a Southern fried voice of the community.
Yeah. Southern fried,
and the people's want, they love you and support you. They love what we have to say. Now I really think the problem is when you start thinking you're speaking for everybody. That's really where the problem come in.
Yes, sir.
I look up to a lot of people that I feel like speak for themselves and, you know, advocate for black people. But like I said, there's a lot of voices, right?
It is.
I listen to the black, I mean, mine of course being the best, but secondary to me, there's a lot of voices. I listen to Blackout Tips while on my morning and evening jogs and laugh while running is always fun. Thank you for being so great. And then he also included a Word document talking about how the Smurfs are capitalist. Wow, this Smurf Files Part 6, are the Smurfs capitalists? Over 300 million figurines sold, over 20 million comic books sold, over 40 million albums sold, over 400 different figurines, over 700 consumer products available, 1 million video games sold, translated into 25 languages, 256 episodes produced at $400,000 a shot, is a $102 million total cost of TV series, 392 hours of footage. That, first of all, are we sure about the $400,000 an episode? That's a lot.
Probably in his heyday, probably the highest.
Cause really?
The Smurfs was the bop. The Smurfs used to come on NBC doing like Saturday morning prime time. You know, that shit don't exist no more. But you know, Saturday morning prime, all them eyes.
So how much does Scooby-Doo episode cost? Like $400,000? That's a lot of money.
Oh, I don't know. Scooby-Doo was probably popular in his heyday too.
Like, I don't even think our girl Kerry Washington was getting that kind of money to be on Scandal for a while. It took a while to build up to $400,000.
Yeah, but y'all talking about, I guess it's different kids, children.
I don't know like about this one, Karen. Toys. I don't know about these facts on this Word document.
I mean, I'm gonna need Snopes
to fact check this.
The numbers are that accurate, but I was being high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna need Snopes to take a look into this for me, because not trying to say you're a liar, Sean, but you did call us a voice of the black community, so I feel like I have some responsibility here, okay? Me and Sean King speaking for all you Negroes, I'm gonna need y'all to fact check a little bit, okay? And make sure you hit up my PayPal. I'm gonna need to raise some money. Mm-mm. for these black deaths, okay?
Don't.
PayPal.me.
Don't do it.
/Rod and just send me the money, okay? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I will get us justice. $1 at a time.
By yourself, okay?
A lot of y'all got coronavirus checks. Go ahead and write that in paypal.me/RodTBGWT and we will get justice, okay? Starting a new campaign today to get justice for us on the yacht campaign. And
and the plane, remember, we got a plane.
And a plane
too.
And we will be getting the justice all over the globe as soon as the pandemic relents and we can get vaccinated. We're gonna be getting justice in a lot of tropical spots. That's what justice is. That's what you really need it the most. Okay, I want some. I'm gonna go to Tahiti to get some justice. We gonna get justice in Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii, so I would like to get justice there. maybe get some justice in Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
Some Bermudan justice, you know they need it. Where Rihanna from? We going there too. We gonna get justice. They got any more people look like Rihanna down there? We gonna get some justice at the club with them. We gonna go clubbing with the Justice Brigade, okay? paypal.me/RodTBGWT, okay? Just put "for justice" in the donation description. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That way I know that your money specifically is for, you know, justice and stuff. And the rest of y'all can give money as well. That's gonna go to my my mountain hiking fund, because I'm gonna get to the top of the mountain that Martin Luther King couldn't get to. You see what I'm saying? For all of us as black people. So y'all welcome for all of this, okay? So just make sure y'all submit the money, you know, on time. All right, y'all, that's it for today. Tomorrow's my mom's coming through for Mother's Day. Not physically, we'll have to do it via the crowdcast or whatever.
She got her Mother's Day gift.
Practice social distancing, but she sent a photo shoot with all her flowers, y'all.
That flower was bigger than I thought. It's beautiful.
My phone was blowing up. It was like 75 pictures of my mom and them flowers. I'm just happy she got them and appreciated them.
Yes.
All right, y'all, until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.